It's really a blessing to be with you today and just honored to be in Wellington Church again. I see the Lord is really blessing you with growth numerically, and I pray so spiritually as well. If you are, I would love to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. And Lord, be pleased, we'll look at verses 25 through 32. On the back of your bulletin, I provided a sermon outline that you may follow along to inside with the PowerPoint as well. When you have it, if you just say amen, and I'll proceed. All right. So I'll read, and you follow along silently. Luke chapter 15, beginning with verse 25. Now his elder brother was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house. He heard music and dancing, verse 26. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come. Your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, look, these many years I've served you, and I've never disobeyed your command. Yet, you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. Lord, be pleased, one, just bring to your remembrance today the Father's love. Many times within a congregation, we are so aware of the prodigals, but we tend to forget about the older brother. And as we'll look out in the text today, we'll see some reasons that the elder brother was angry. As we move to our text today, Jesus is in the midst of talking and giving sermons. So sinners are coming, tax collectors, they're listening to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes say this in verse 2. Jesus receives sinners. Like they were shocked at this. And so in the midst of that, Jesus begins to give three parables. And on the surface, when you're looking at these parables, they appear not to be connected. But they actually are well connected. So as Jesus begins to give the parable, he gives the parable of a shepherd who's lost a sheep, lost his sheep. So this shepherd goes out, finds that sheep, the lost one, puts him on his shoulder, invites his friends back and says, rejoice with me, I found what was lost. A woman lost a precious coin. She finds that coin after searching for it diligently, and invites her friends and say, celebrate with me. I found what was lost. And the next parable of what we call the prodigal or the younger brother is lost in a far country. And he's found, brought back to the father's house. And guess what? There's rejoicing. On each of the parables that are given, verse 7 and verse 10 of this particular chapter has a similar refrain. And it lets us know that there is joy in heaven when one sinner repents. And this is the message that Jesus is about to give to the Pharisees and scribes. There is joy in heaven when a sinner repents. Now let's look at our text today to see the deeper meaning of why the elder brother is mad When the other parables, everyone is rejoicing. But this older brother, he's upset. Verse 25. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So this older brother is out in the field working, doing his normal duty. And as he ends his work, he's approaching home and he hears something. A celebration. Music. The whole village is involved in this celebration. And he wonders, is there anything really to be celebrating right now? What's all this joy about? So he calls a servant over who works for his father. And he says, what's going on? What's all this loud noise, this music? These celebrations were loud. You could hear from miles away. What's all this about? And the servant simply says, your brother is back. Can you imagine the older brother's face as he remembers the offense to the father? The younger brother asked for his inheritance while his dad was still alive. In essence, he was saying, I wish you were dead. I want your property. I don't want to no longer live under your rule and your authority. I want to do things my way. And the brother is thinking about this. But to make matters worse, not only is that a big time offense, the Bible clearly says a few days later, so which means this younger brother got all his inheritance and he liquidated it and went to the far country and spent all that he had. Everything, every last penny. After he spent all that he had, the Bible clearly says he began to be in want. He was hungry. He wanted to feed himself with the pods that the pigs eat. And he says, as he comes to himself, how many servants of my father have more than enough food to eat? So he goes back and he says, I'll just work for my father and I'll repay him to get back my honor. But the father will not have any work. And now, as he approaches the father receives the son. He receives him. And can you imagine all of this? He thinks about the price of sin, all of that he had, all that he has squandered away. He thinks about the price of sin. The father receives him back as a son. And immediately as he receives him back as a son, he puts him on the best robe, gives him a ring signifying authority, and he gives him sandals or shoes, as some translations say. He restores him to immediate sonship right there on the spot. And can you imagine the older brother thinking, what is this? This doesn't make any sense. He's offended the father. He's considered dead. And yet the father receives him back. And when you think about it, it doesn't really make sense. But it only goes to show that grace is always amazing. So he says, not only your father receive him back, he's killed a fatted calf. And the fatted calf just wasn't any type of calf. It was a calf that was reserved for special celebrations. In Matthew 22, 2 and 4, at the wedding feast, there was a fatted calf. Just to bring it home in today's context, it would be similar to a regular everyday meal and Thanksgiving. You know, my wife, I know it's a big meal. She brings out the special plates. There's food everywhere. You bring out the turkey. You don't cook a turkey every day. It's something special. So this is a big time deal. And so the older brother is like, I just don't understand it. In verse 28, he says, the Bible says, and he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. Now, I could be wrong, and maybe you can help me out on this. But if the younger brother has been lost, and is now reconciled back to the Father. Doesn't that sound like good news? Yes? No? Maybe? It's good news. This guy was lost, and God has, the Father has reconciled his son back to him. But the Bible says the older brother was mad. He was angry. He refused to go in. Now notice the change in position. The older brother refused to go in to the celebration. And here's the bigger change. The older brother, the one who stayed back home, is now on the outside. And the brother who was far away is now on the inside. It's a big change. And so the father goes out to talk to the son. Now, in this particular time, a Middle Eastern father would actually have his slaves go and bind this disrespectful brother who refused to go into the celebration, put him in a side room, walk back to the celebration with a grim face, go back and enjoy the celebration, and after the celebration was over, hold this disrespectful son down and he will receive lashes. But look at the gracious nature of this father. He not only goes out to the brother, but he listens to the brother, even when he's not behaving the way that he should. He sounds similar to our Heavenly Father, who listens to us even when we don't behave as we should. But not only does he listen to the older brother, he also hears the older brother. He hears him as he talks. He goes to him and he speaks to him. And notice what the father says in verse 29 with the older brother. And answering said to his father, "Look, these many years I've served you and I never disobeyed your command, and yet you never gave me a goat that I might celebrate with my friends." In verse 29, we begin to see why the older brother is mad. First, look at the lack of respect from this older brother. He doesn't even address his father by his proper title. And in this particular day, that was a big deal. So he says, "Look here, look, let me just tell you something. Just look here." He didn't even say dad or father, sir, anything. Just look. He's so upset, so disgusted that the father will receive back this son after all that he's done. Just frustrated. And we see why the older brother is mad. He served the father out of a sense of duty. Notice what he says. "These many years I've served you." In the military, I was in the military, and in order to get promoted, you had to have years in service and time and rank in order for you to get promoted. And in order, you can make grade below, on time, or late. And so many times, people will make grade, and there will always be someone who doesn't make grade, and they will normally have to get out. But many times, this happens within the Christian community. We believe just because we've been a member of a church X amount of years or been a part of this organization X amount of years, it somehow gives us a special right or a special privilege in church where we can make not only requests of the Father or requests of the organization that we're in because we've been there so many years. And if you remember in Matthew chapter 20, where the servants, they were hired some in the daytime, some in evening, some in noon. And at the end of the day, everyone received the same pay. And they were mad. And the older brother is thinking the same way. "It's no way this brother should be treated like me. I've served you all these years. It's not right." He served the father out of sense of duty. Secondly, Duty without love will always lead to legalism. So he's just serving the Father out of duty. He really does not love the Father. He's just there. Because you remember, the younger brother asks for his inheritance. And in this particular day, a mediator, someone close to the family, would intervene because that's very disrespectful. And the older brother is silent. He should have been the one mediating between the father and the younger brother, but he did not. But he stayed with his father out of a sense of duty. And duty without love would always lead to legalism. Notice what he says. I've never transgressed against you. I've never sinned. I've always kept the law. When you are functioning out of legalism, rules become your rule of thumb. You begin to say, I don't do this, I don't do that. I'm a good person. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't party. I'm at church, I give tithe, I do all of this. I'm a pretty decent guy. You will want to get to know me. You know? There you go, wow, all right. Oh, woo! I'm up here sweating, I'm like, oh my goodness. Oh. Okay, all right. Okay, all right. We're trying. All right. So you remember in Luke 18 when the rich young ruler, and he says, Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He says, keep the commandments. He says, you know, I got that. Done it. He said, well, sell all you have. And he left sad. It's because of this. The older brother and this rich young ruler have two things in common. They're doing the right thing, but their heart is not in it. You can be doing the right thing, but doing it for the wrong reason. And duty without love will lead to legalism, but duty without love will also breed ritualism. I'm just going through the motions. I know it's a call to worship. I know I'm supposed to stand here. I know I'm supposed to sing through the song. I know I'm supposed to raise my hands here. I know I'm supposed to bow my head here. I know I need to put money in here. And you just go through the motion. It's ritualism. On Sunday, I go to church. But when you come to worship God, is your heart involved in the worship? Do I realize as I'm giving tithe and offering, I'm giving unto the Lord? Yes, the elders use it. Yes, it benefits the church, but I'm giving to the Lord. I'm giving a portion, says, all that I have is yours, and I'm giving a portion back to you. I just want to say thank you. That's a different posture as you come to worship. But thirdly, serving out of a sense of love, out of a sense of duty, will always lead to selfishness. Notice what the older brother said. He says, you never gave me a goat that I may make merry with my friends. He only wanted the blessings of the Father so he can spend them on his own things and his own pleasures. But secondly, there was already a celebration going on. There were already people there, which also indicates he lived in a silo. He was so concerned about himself. He was not close to the community. He was not close to his brother nor his father. He lived in a silo. And sometimes churches can become silos. We forget about our community. We don't engage them. We stay in our holy huddles. We have to go out and engage our community, engage the lost. Verse 30. But this son of yours who devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. He's so disgusted, so upset that he denies his relationship to his brother. He said, you know, this son of yours, when he's come home, this is what you've done for him. I've been here all this time. I work for you. I've slaved for you. You're so unfair. You give the best to this son, and I've been here and I have not received anything. My friends and I would love to party too. I need this, and you won't give it. This son of yours. Duty without love will always create idols. He looked at himself as a rule of thumb, and he created an idol. And here's that idol. It makes you look down on others. This idol that he had, he says, who has devoured his living with prostitutes. Now, this is so funny to me, and maybe I just have a crazy sense of humor. Think about it. At the early, verse 25 and 26, did the older brother even know his younger brother was back home? No! Now, all of a sudden, he has intimate details of how the older brother lived in a foreign country. That's funny to me. I'm like, seriously? You didn't even know he was home, and now you have all these intimate details about how he lived in a foreign country? It just shows when you create idols, it warps your judgment. He's trying to manipulate the father to get what he wants. Think about it. He's out here. You don't know what he's doing. And when you create these idols, you're able to look down on others. Ugh, I don't do that. I can't believe this. The nerve of him coming to our church. You're sitting by me? I don't think so. No, this is not the type of person we need in our church. Oh, they're going to dirty our carpet. Oh, don't stand on the chairs. Don't bring food in the sanctuary. Oh, don't touch me. You got chocolate on you. All these things, we create idols. We're not able to worship God in spirit and truth because we've created these false idols. Extreme exaggeration. Doesn't even know about the younger brother. And now he has all these details. Look at verse 31 and 32. And he said unto him, son, thou art with me. All that I have is thine. It was meet to make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Think about it. The young brother asked for an inheritance, spent all that he had in a far country. He's reconciled back to the father. The older brother is so mad, so disgusted. So, the older brother, as he's speaking to his father, he says, son, you are always with me. This older brother represents the Pharisees. The Pharisees had the temple, they had the oracles of God, they had the law, and yet they felt no need to draw close to God. They felt like they already had it. They had no sense of what real sin was in the heart. They had a form of legalism going through the motions, but their heart was never connected. The Pharisees, the scribes, were supposed to be beacons of light to point others to the only true God. But they got used to being looked upon as the set apart ones, the one that has the laws. In every parable, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the prodigal, there's celebration. But in this one, there's not celebration. And the question is, we've seen some bottom line, some surface level reasons of why the older brother was mad. But the truth of the matter is, the only way the younger brother could come back home was based on the provisions of the older brother. I'll say that again, y'all missed that. The only way this younger brother could come back home was based on the provisions provided by the older brother. Let me say it again. In verse 12, what happened? The inheritance is divided, right? The younger brother received one third. The older brother received two thirds. So where is the younger brother's inheritance? That's right, he spent it. So in order for him to come back home, he had to come back at the older brother's expense. So the older brother is mad because the father is spending his money. That's my stuff. That fatted calf is mine. This older brother thought, because of the benefits that the father is lavishing on this younger brother, that there were no benefits for him. And he said, son, all that I have is thine. It's your stuff too. You could join in the celebration. It belongs to you anyway. But this older brother was selfish. He didn't want to share. He didn't want to participate in the celebration. Duty without love will always lead to self-deception. So in other words, when he told the father, all this time I worked for you, all this time I slaved for you, he was lying. He was self-deceived. He was actually working for his own stuff. We can deceive ourselves that we're working so hard for something when actually we're working for our own glory. This older brother was like, father, all this time I've served you, I worked for you. Actually, he's working on his own property. He's thinking about the day, one day this is going to be mine. This car, yeah. Yeah, I'm cleaning it for you, dad. But in the mind, oh, I can't wait to drive you. Ooh, man. Oh, yeah, dad, I'm going to put some gas in the car for you. Ooh, I can't wait. Oh, it was his. All this property, all of that, it belonged to him. The fatted calf, it legally and rightfully belonged to the other brother. That robe that he received legally and rightfully belonged to the other brother. Those shoes that he received legally and rightfully belonged to the older brother. But oh, how does this older brother highlight our true older brother? God the Father sent Jesus Christ, our true elder brother, and he wasn't selfish at all. Not only did he give us things, but he gave us his very best. He gave us himself on the cross. And right now, because of the blood that was shed on the cross, I'm a joint heir with the King. That's my older brother. And the Father hears my request because I'm in relationship with his son. Ultimately, it comes down to this. Duty without love for the son will never please the father. Unless you're connected with Jesus Christ, your works are in vain. So if you're in a far country, living a sinful lifestyle, away from the Father's love found in Jesus Christ, God the Father commands you today, be reconciled to the Son. And if you're like the older brother, you have the right deeds, the right things you're doing, your life is morally correct, but if your heart is not connected to Jesus, he calls upon you to repent as well. Both sons were lost. Both disrespected their father, and yet this father was gracious to them. He heard both of them, granted both requests, just like our Heavenly Father is so gracious to us, to hear us, even when we don't behave like we should, because we're in His Son, Jesus Christ. And so my actions, when I don't behave like I should, the Father, the Son reminds the Father, I died for that sin. And so now we ask for forgiveness. The Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, reminds us of the forgiveness we received at the cross. Today, I bid you be reconciled to the Son, for duty without love for the Son will never please the Father. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for him paying for a penalty that he did not deserve, paying for a price we could never pay. Thank you for at Calvary, we now have been reconciled and restored to a proper relationship with the Father. Bless Wellington, keep them and guide them. We ask these blessings and others. In your Son, Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.